This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today we have with us
Lucas Dreyer
and I am Diane McConnell. Today we're looking at a clinical exercise physiologist's approach with knee pain, and in particular, is it possible to avoid knee replacements?
Yeah, this is an issue that a lot of people get confronted with. You know, they go to the GP and with some discomfort in their knees, and the GP the approach generally is they end up with an x-rays, and then a typical observation by and response of the GP would be, well, your knee cartilage is worn down, the disc, the space between the tibia and the femur has narrowed up, and you're probably going to need a knee replacement at some stage. And that sounds very final for a lot of people. It then becomes sort of like a destiny.
Mm-hmm.
That they accept that, and they just waiting for the pain to get worse to a point where it's become sort of annoying or unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would want their surgery. And sometimes people end up with surgery just because they are going to get retire, or and they have some financial support through their work, and so they don't really need it, but they do end up getting a knee replacement just because once they retire, they might not have the funding.
Right.
So my brother, for instance, ended up in a situation like that with a knee replacement, and the thing is, most of these are actually preventable, and so today I'm going to talk a little bit about that, what you can do. So let's unpack the science a little bit and look at the reality. So the first thing is, what does those x-rays really mean? When the doctors see that narrow joint space, and they talking about less cartilage in the joint. And yes, the cartilage can't grow back, so it's easy to assume that if that cushion is not there anymore, you know, you're going to end up with bone on bone, and the only way out is to put a metal one in there, or mm-hmm. a plastic one in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a bit of a twist here, that pain and function does not always match what they see on the x-ray. In some cases, it looks severe, but the patient doesn't have a lot of pain. In other cases, it doesn't look like there's a lot of damage, but there's severe discomfort. And this is because the knee is not just consisting of bone and cartilage. There's also a lot of muscle there, muscle tendons and ligaments. And there is a biomechanics involved, the way that the knee actually rotate and move. And that biomechanics, actually, when you look at the knee joint itself, that biomechanics involves the whole leg, because the leg is a chain. So it goes up to an issue in the hip, that actually muscles in the some of the glute medius especially, that's weakened, creates a bit of a rotation in the femur that creates a change in the mechanics of the knee itself, because the head of the femur is slightly rotated, and that creates a pressure on the disc and it narrows the space, which then leads to pain and discomfort. And that's stuff that can be corrected if it's picked up early enough.
So you're saying that something in the hip is the problem?
Yeah, the problem.
The consequences down in the knee.
The consequences down the knee, and what often happens that there's a total focus on the knee, and a total disregard of the chain of why is this actually happening? And so, as a clinical exercise physiologist, that's one of the major things that we do. We look at the chain. And we try to understand why did this happen in the first place, and can we do something about it? And so if there's because there's ligaments involved and tendons involved and disc space and biomechanics involved, there's actually quite a lot that you can do about it, about your pain, and just surrendering to a verdict that you're going to need knee replacement, I think is not always the best way to go about this. And I think it is part of our society is that the doctor's word is always the final word. And I think just being a little bit more aware of how these things develop and that there's other options, and maybe just exploring those options is not something that is necessarily a negative thing. And you might save yourself quite a lot of pain by following these other options. So you might wonder, what have I? I've been told that I already need surgery. You know, there's some damage to the bone. There's some osteoarthritis on the bone. Can exercise still help? And the answer is surprisingly yes. In a landmark study that was published in the British Medical Journal in 2020, the so-called ESCAPE trial, the researchers looked at patients who were already deemed eligible for knee replacement. And they put them in two groups, one group got standard care, and the other got a 12-week program of personalized exercise, some education, support, weight management if needed, and so forth. And the result was that after 1 year, only 26% of the rehab group needed surgery, ended up with surgery. Only 26, where the other group had a 62% of that group actually ended up with surgery.
That's a big difference.
It's a massive difference. So, and then there was a follow-up 2 years later. Most of those that avoided the surgery were still going strong, without the surgery. So it's not just delaying the surgery, it can potentially avoid the surgery in total, altogether, you know.
So those ones who 2 years later still didn't require surgery, they would have been keeping up the exercise program they'd been given. If that stopped, I imagine it would have just deteriorated again.
Yes, so that's my exact next point that I'm getting to. There's a few important things here to keep in mind. And number one is that the exercise program needs to be tailored by a therapist that knows what he's doing, he or she is doing. Just going out and start with a walking program of going to the gym and approaching the first personal trainer that you see there. You might hit gold with a personal trainer that knows what he she's doing, but the chances are that that's not part of their repertoire. It's not what they really do. So getting to a clinical exercise physiologist or a physical therapist that actually does this sort of work is an important step for a number of reasons that I'll touch on in a moment. The other thing is consistency. It's not only for weeks or months that you need to do this. Initially, there'd be quite a few exercises, but as your knee actually gets better, those can be tapered down to 2 or 3 essential exercises that you need to keep on doing. And a good way to think about this is it's like dental hygiene. I've got to brush my teeth every day, and I just have to do it. You know, chin up, you know, toughen up, brush your teeth, you know. It doesn't help to complain about it. And the same with your knee, you know, you've got 2 or 3 exercises that you just need to keep on doing.
And it becomes part of your lifestyle.
And it becomes
a daily part.
Just like you brush your teeth twice a day, you do your exercises twice a day. You know, and it's a set of, as maybe 1 or 2 sets of 12 or 15 repetitions or 20 repetitions, and you just knuckle down and do it every morning. And a lot of them, of these exercises, these maintenance exercises, you can actually do at home. So you don't need to stay with a therapist for the rest of your life. Although we have people that like to keep on progressing, like some variety in their programs, so they stick a bit longer with us, and that's certainly something that we can then provide. The third thing is you need to consider weight loss, and a lot of us don't want to hear that, but if you're carrying excess weight and you have a job where you walk a lot or stand a lot, then you need to consider not only strengthening those legs and creating a work pattern that takes you off your legs a little bit, but also really considering help with regards to weight loss, because the knee is a joint that rotates and moves forward and backwards, that extra weight, the stopping and starting, is actually quite huge on the knee.
And once again, that weight loss needs to be lifelong. It's not just lose a couple of stone and then I'm right.
Yeah.
You've actually got to maintain that lower weight.
It's a lifestyle change. You can't just eat less for a couple of months, lose weight, and then go back to your old habits. You know. The next thing is there will be, when you start with exercise rehab, you need to factor in that there will be some discomfort. The knee is all stiffened up. You know, there might be some bony fragments that have formed in the knee. So when I start these exercises, there's going to be some discomfort, and you just need to work through it. But your CP or clinic exercisiologist, or we adjust the program, we select exercises and we pitch the intensity, the sets and the reps and the load, so that it doesn't cause further damage. So the exercise is really carefully selected, and a good therapist will also explain to you why every exercise are being done, what's the purpose of the exercise, how it relates to your issue. Why am I doing this? Why won't it hurt you further? Even if it's uncomfortable, you actually just need to push through this somewhat, you know. And it's all being very sensible. It doesn't mean you can push the joint into an inflammatory state. You know, it's gentle progress that is applied, but the exercises needs to be carefully selected. And some understanding of what actually is going on in the joint is a requirement for any therapist before he will or he or she will prescribe the exercises. And I think that's a really important bit of also managing the discomfort and managing the pain, because once you as an individual understand what is going on there and what am I doing here when I'm doing my exercises, I can also know, and then I know that what I'm doing might be uncomfortable, and there might be some after exercise discomfort, but it's part of the process. I'm not hurting the joint. So understanding my injury and interpreting my discomfort within context of that injury is a really important process that you need to go through. And so your therapist effective therapist will certainly spend some time on explaining that for you. With knee generation, there's a very typical pattern. It's either an old injury that has actually worsened over time.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens with an injury where there was actually some disruption of the joint, is that there's normally some tendon tearing and some ligament tearing that happens. And when that happens, the body goes through three phases. The first phase is an inflammatory phase, which creates swelling and some bleeding because of the bleeding in that area. Then there's a repair phase where the body starts to make adjustments. There's collagen 2 that is actually deposited on those sites. Mm-hmm. To help with the recovery, and then after about 3 to 6 weeks, the body goes into what we call remodeling phase. And the remodeling phase, there is collagen 2 or 1 that is now replacing the collagen 2. It's a stronger substance, and it provides more enduring and stronger support.
So it almost over repairs.
It keeps on repairing. It adjusts the repairing. But the important thing here is that second phase of repairing, the remodeling phase, depends on. It happens along the lines of mechanical loading. This is very important. Along the lines of mechanical loading. So if I don't challenge the joint, then the full remodeling doesn't take place. Then it stays weak. So it's really important that I actually do this rehab for the full recovery to take place. Now with a lot of people, this doesn't happen. And mm-hmm. so now, because of those first two phases, there was swelling and there's muscle deterioration that happens with that. You start getting abnormal movement patterns. The joint becomes stiff. It doesn't rotate and move, subflex and retract as it used to. And so the joint adjusts. The joint function is not book normal anymore. And now I keep on hurting it when I walk and when I run. And that then becomes a joint degeneration thing over the long run. Mm-hmm. So what does this mean in terms of when you come in there with your knee
mm-hmm.
now being in this late phase? The clinical exerciologist will look at whether there's muscle deterioration, how the joint is actually working, and whether there's some abnormal movement patterns, because that needs to be corrected. Otherwise, whatever rehab we do is actually subpar. It's not going to produce the result that we want to produce. And so, and that's why just ending up in the gym and doing leg press exercises and squat exercises and working your legs, it's not always the best way to go about it. There's some subtle little exercises that we need to do that works on strengthening the glute muscles if necessary, or strengthening some of the muscles, the calf muscles insertions on the knee joint, to actually prepare the joint for the work that's coming, the more intensive exercise rehab that needs to, and so this is really important to understand, that because that remodeling hasn't happened before, this is why you're sitting in the position where you're sitting. And ignoring that is not, like you've done before, is not going to help the process. So it becomes a little bit of a little bit of a puzzle that the clinical exercise physiologist will figure out and look at it and then adjust the exercises and start walking the path of you. So that's I think it's to a large extent why we see ourselves as different from what a typical physiotherapist will do, because the job of the physiotherapist is mostly around the swelling and the pain. And if you've gone to the physiotherapist when and after the initial injury, and you've done your rehab, you would probably not end up with the problem in the first place, because they would have done their job.
Mm-hmm.
But that final remodeling, as the physiotherapy sessions is not long enough for that. So if you don't follow that up, then that final remodeling doesn't take place, and that's where we come in. So the ideal situation would be after injury to go through your physiotherapy treatment up to about 6 weeks, and then come to a clinical exercise physiologist where we can continue this then with this remodeling work, challenging the joint so that it strengthen in the areas where it needs to get strengthened.
And then it's up to the individual to keep on
to maintain
keep
that.
On doing it.
Yeah.
Not just 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But this is it. This is lifetime.
This is now a sort of a permanent thing that that I need to do. Like I said to you, once the joint is nice and strong and operates properly, then you can taper down with the amount of exercise you do. But here's another thing, you know, when you that clients often are not aware of, when you go to the doctor and to the specialist and they do the x-rays and they look at the knee, that decision whether they're going to send you for rehab is actually not an easy decision to make, because there's a lot of things that comes into play at that particular moment in time. And these are things like not everyone has access to a clinical exercise physiologist.
True. How many would you say are out there that people could access? I mean, we're lucky here in Palmerston North. We've got...
Yeah, there's a few places, because it's a... And we've got another recording about that, how the whole thing developed. But Palmerston North, there's one. There's a few in the Wellington region. There's a few in Hamilton. And there's a few in Auckland.
Right.
So it's still growing. It's still developing. And so finding one is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're specialist orthopedic surgeon looks at this and he needs to make the decision whether he's going to refer you for exercise rehab, and there's not somebody that he trusts out there, then he's obviously going to have second thoughts about this. And unless you know of somebody that you think could do the job, confronting the specialist about it, is probably not going to get him to change his mind. The second thing is insurance cover and finances. You know, not everyone has the insurance money or the finances to pay for the rehab, and the GP or the surgeon needs to consider that as well. You look at the client that sits in front of him, it's a retired individual, there's not a lot of money there, so he needs to factor that into his decision making. The other thing, support network. Does this, is this person, does he have a support, he or she has a support network? What is the body weight situation? Is this a person that potentially can lose weight? Because it becomes harder, especially if you've got a sore knee and you're in your, and you, and your late 60s. This is not as easy as a 21 or a, or a 30 year old that wants to lose weight. There's a lot of things at play here. If there's not a good support network, there's limited finances, there's travel issues. How do I get this person to the the therapist? Then then the decision becomes a little bit nuanced. You know, it is not as simple as just, okay, we're going to send you for rehab. And so they, your orthopedic surgeon would certainly factor that into his decision making. All right, so I think if I summarize some of the key findings, even if you've got osteoarthritis, a moderate exercise program might help you reduce your pain and manage your pain. The ESCAPE trial shows that you can have a 26% of the exercise group ended up with surgery as compared to 62% in the other group. The long-term outcomes, it lasted for 2 years in this, in this particular study. There's some major guidelines for support, the American College of Rheumatology and Osteoarthritis strongly recommend that you consider exercise first. And the things that we need to keep in mind is exercise is not a cure for severe structural joint damage. It works best as part of a comprehensive non-surgical approach that include weight management and pain management and patient education. Some patients will still require surgery even if symptoms worsen, despite the conservative measures. But the good news is then the post-surgery recovery benefits quite a lot from the exercise. And so if you do consider this approach, you've got to do your homework a little bit, see if there's a therapist around, and ask the, ask yourself the hard questions. Do I have the personality? Do I have the commitment to stick with this? And if you think you have, then don't just surrender to the, to the surgery. And keep in mind that, that if you do follow this approach, you might lose your place on the waiting list. But that's what you want if you want to try it, because a long, that gives you more time for your exercise to really give the exercise a good chance of succeeding.
This is part 3 of 5. Tune in next week for part 4.
Thank you for listening to Manuatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manuatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manuatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manuatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.